Last week, our readings and our message were about discipleship and discipline. And you might remember, those two words are so connected. They have the same root. To be a disciple means to be a follower, a student of Jesus, the Master. And if I am his disciple, then I ought to put myself to some sort of training, some discipline. You might remember those four disciplines that I mentioned, the two on the vertical axis, prayer and sacraments that keep us in union and communion with the Lord, and then the ones on the horizontal axis, fellowship or Christian community, and then following from that, service, outreach, evangelization. That these four disciplines help us live our discipleship. They are the things that we do that keep us in union and unity. And our readings and our message this week really flow from this. There's an examination in our readings on some key virtues that Jesus embodies. Maybe not things necessarily that he does, although they lead to action, but things that he is. A virtue is a firm and habitual disposition to do the good. You embody these virtues in a way that it leads you to action. And Jesus is the man who does all things well. He's fully God, fully man, so he's the full embodiment of all virtues that lead toward goodness. He's the fullness of charity, fullness of prudence and temperance and fortitude, justice, chastity, patience, all these virtues that lead us to do good things, Jesus is the fullness of that. But in the Gospels and the way that he talks about himself, he points to two key virtues, two things that he embodies in himself that, above all, he asks us to imitate. And we even hear that in the Alleluia verse today. We heard Jesus' words, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart." So these are the two virtues I want to discuss today, virtues of the Christian that we imitate in following the one who loves us, following the one who disciples us. Jesus is the full embodiment of these two virtues, humility and meekness. So I want to look at those specifically because we hear those words all the time, but we might not know exactly what they mean or how we imitate Jesus, how we put that yoke on ourselves of Jesus and imitate him in these virtues. So first, humility. Humility, that can be a big pill to swallow. And maybe we don't know exactly what it means, but we might see something and we know that's not humility. I don't know what it is exactly, but I know it's not that. I'll give you an example of that. Some years ago when I was a seminary student, my class, we went to Venezuela to visit our archdiocesan mission down there. And if you know anything about Venezuela, there's a lot of political turmoil and things going on there. And we witnessed this right when we fly into the capital city of Caracas. We're in the airport, and we're walking through the concourse there, and there's this mural of their president, just his picture, and one word next to him, humildad, humility. Probably not. If you're going to put a picture of yourself up in your airport with the word humility, that takes some guts. Something doesn't quite settle there, does it? When someone props themselves up on a pedestal and says, "Look how humble I am," they're probably not that humble. But what is it? What is that virtue of humility that we want to imitate from Jesus? I've heard it's not beating ourselves up. It's not thinking less of myself. Woe is me, I'm not good enough. It's not thinking less about myself, but thinking about myself less. That I'm self-forgetful. I'm not the center of my own universe. And it even comes from a word that has the same root as the word human. So we're all humans, and the word human and humility both come from the Latin word humus, which means from the earth, lowly, like close to the ground. That's what it means to be a human. You might remember Adam and Eve, you know, they were taken from the dust of the earth. And so to be a human is to have this earthly part of us, and to be humble is to be close to the ground, close to the earth. Not beating myself up, but thinking about myself less. Last week in the Gospel from Luke, we were in chapter 13, and Jesus gave us that instruction, strive for the narrow gate. I love that image of following Jesus and it narrowing my options because my decision has led me to him. But I think humility is a great way that gets us there. And even maybe the gate, that narrowness, isn't so much this way, but this way. I think the narrow gate might be small. It might be lowly, close to the ground. I think of that door at the end of the hallway in Willy Wonka. When they walk that hallway, the door gets smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. So they have to get on their knees to crawl through it. So maybe the gate to eternity is like that. That only those who are childlike, only those who lower themselves, getting on their knees, recognizing there's a God and I'm not him, that's the one who can come into eternity. That's the one who hits the narrow gate. All the proud, those who set themselves on pedestals, they smack their heads on the wall every time they try to aim for that narrow gate. And I think this is a great image for us of what it means to be humble, to get down, to get close to the ground, to lower myself rather than exalting myself. If you've ever heard of the litany of humility, this is a prayer that can hit you square between the eyes. The things that you pray in this litany, they're things that are sometimes hard to swallow. And I just want to give you a few of the lines today so that we might ponder these. How might I pray this and mean it and not be too scared of it? These are some of the lines. Lord, deliver me from the desire of being consulted. I don't want people to consult my opinion. And so, Lord, deliver me from that desire. Deliver me from the fear of being forgotten. I don't care if people remember me. I'm okay with being forgotten. The humble person can say this. And so we pray for this. Lord, that others may be esteemed more than I. Lord, that others may be chosen and I set aside. The humble person is able to recognize, I'm not all that. Maybe this person should be chosen instead of me. Maybe this person would get the promotion or be esteemed more than me. Those are hard things to say, but they lead us into a greater place of freedom and love, knowing life's not so much about me. Life is more about God and his greatness, his loftiness. And if I recognize who I am in truth, I can glorify him. I can magnify him. I'll give you an example of from my own life, what this looked like. A few years ago, when I was in seminary, I was at a Christian camp helping form some missionaries. And every morning, we would start morning in prayer, a mass, and then we go to breakfast. And this one particular morning, we were having objectively the best breakfast at camp. Biscuits and gravy. Everybody's mouths were watering. And one of the guys, one of the missionaries at camp came up to me and he says, I prayed for humility this morning and they just ran out of biscuits. And I, in all honesty and truth, I looked at him and said, I prayed for oatmeal. And there was this huge pot of oatmeal. Maybe you've heard before, you know, if you pray for patience, the Lord doesn't just infuse patience in you. He gives you opportunities to be patient. I think it's the same with humility. If I pray for humility, He's going to give me opportunities to lower myself, to take something that I didn't prefer, something that wasn't as lofty and grand as I had desired, but something that fills me and then gives me an appreciation for what I have and for the greatness that God is. And so that's that first virtue of humility. The second one is like it, meekness, to be meek. This is a harder one to understand. It's not a word we often use, and it sounds like weak. So often with times we think, oh, to be meek, that's just to be tiny and like a weakling. That's not what this word means. To be meek, to imitate Jesus in his meekness, who's meek and humble of heart, it's not so much a weakness or a stripping of my power. Jesus in the Beatitudes, chapter 5 of Matthew's gospel, he says, blessed are the meek, they'll inherit the land. And the other time used in the Bible where we hear about meekness is in the Old Testament with Moses. Moses is said to be the most meek person who's ever lived. And Moses was powerful. Moses had a strength about him. He wasn't weak. And so to be meek must mean something a little different. And I've heard that it's actually an equine term, that meekness, it has to do with horses. Now, would you believe it? That to meek a horse is not to get rid of its power, but to harness its power. A wild horse, some wild stallion in the wilderness, you might see that, you know, galloping around and looks really strong and really powerful. But what about the horse that has been broken? The horse that has been trained? It hasn't been stripped of its power. It hasn't been domesticated necessarily, but its power has been harnessed. It's been trained. The horse that's able to pull a plow or a chariot or march in the battle, that's power. That's power that's been trained, that's been meeked. And so this is what the Lord invites us to. Imitate me, not being powerless, but directing your power under my power. Putting your will under my will. Putting your strength under my strength. This is how we imitate Jesus, who's meek and humble of heart, not stripping ourselves, but truly ordering and directing ourselves for good. That's what virtues do. They point us towards the good. And so this is what I want to encourage us today. Let's take these messages that we receive from the scriptures today and try to put them into practice. From the book of Sirach, my child, conduct your affairs with humility. Humble yourself the more. And then Jesus here in the gospel telling us, go and take the lowest place. He reminds us, if we take the lowest place, it's that person who will be exalted. But the one who exalts himself, that person will be humbled. And so let's step into that place today of imitation, that we would be those followers of Jesus, both in the way we act and in the way that we receive. So let's receive from the Father today those good gifts that he has for us, knowing that he wants us to be poor and lowly so that he might raise us up.